from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there and welcome to the rewrap for Monday. All the best bits of the Mike Hosking Breakfast on Newstalk ZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB, and this morning Mike was actually back on his own show, which always makes a nice change. He wanted to talk about last week's health check with Trump. He also wanted to talk about another of last week's story. I mean, he's playing catch up. Cut him some slack about whether we should try and save Tereo. He's got some interesting news about Britain wanting to join the TPP and a little fresh produce review from the States. But before any of that, airports. Yeah, that's right. He's been on holiday. I've been on holiday. We've all been on holiday. Well, we have anyway. Hopefully you got away too.
Hey, quick question. Guess how, you know how Los Angeles Airport, don't want to bang on about my holiday, that's the last story. You know how Los Angeles Airport is famous for being basically stuffed and you go nowhere? Time from us leaving plane, to hopping in the car out the other side of Los Angeles Airport? 11 minutes. 11. Six of those minutes were walking from the plane to immigration. Five through immigration.
I had similar experiences like in our travels.
And where, what cultural experience?
Singapore, Vietnam, Hong
Singapore,
Kong.
Singapore, greatest airport in the world.
Even Hong Kong.
Hong Kong,
which we were a bit worried about because we had a plane delay at one point. And so we were getting off one plane, getting on another. Yeah. Hong Kong airport, very large airport, quite difficult to transverse in a hurry.
Yes, it is.
And we sort of just made it in time to get on the other next plane. And we're on the plane thinking, oh, I wonder if our bags also joined us.
And they
on
did.
That plane. As it turned out, they did. But, you know, the biggest wait, biggest cues
where?
And the most unpleasant experience
where
here
funny eh? So it can be done. If LAX can do it, anyone can do it, basically, can't they?
Yep, we went through Singapore, met lots of different airports in Vietnam, Hong Kong, and guess where all the renovations and the queues and then we come out and guess where the one toilet that didn't have toilet paper or hand towels in. Yeah, back here in little old Auckland. I'm so proud. Mike played close attention to the coverage of his health check last week.
Never before has a president faced such open, hostile coverage on areas of his behaviour and mannerisms. The best they got in the report when it finally came out was his weight, of course, and that surely was no news at all, given we can all see he's overweight. Fundamentally, what the health check showed was, despite the obsessive coverage around burgers and shakes and eating KFC with a fork on a plane, he is in remarkably good health for a bloke who's 71. Not just that, but the doctor says he's good to go for the rest of the term and into another 4 years if re-elected. In other words, until he's almost 80. 30 from 30 in the cognitive test, which leaves the poor old media and the Trump haters with absolutely nothing. Of course he's his own worst enemy. I mean, we all understand that, don't we? I mean, the inability to contain himself and his emotions, the mad tweeting, the vagaries, in fact, all help create an image of a bloke who's eclectic, to say the least, and probably partially nuts in all reality. But being a bit nutty isn't against the law, and it certainly doesn't stop you being president. But all the health check proved yet again is that the coverage of this president is grotesquely one-sided, obsessively negative, flamboyantly disrespectful, and hopefully dishonest. Rumour, innuendo, whispers, literal invention is reported as fact, and his health and its myriad of offshoots, bylines and headlines is a perfect case in point, all of which was answered very succinctly by his doctor. In other words, they'd whipped up a frenzy to meet their own ends, only to have it blow up in their faces when the facts emerge. The great hope of the event might be that those who peddle the bollocks learn and don't repeat it, but I doubt anyone is holding their breath on that.
Well, I feel like the host takes a slightly over fear. That's not really the right expression. I can't quite find the word I'm looking for. But he's just a little bit generous towards Trump and defending him, given what a complete, absolute bloody nutbar he is. But it reminds me of when he tried to stick up for Lance Armstrong on the basis that, you know, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. Even though he was just so obviously guilty that whole time. Anyway, we'll see what happens there. Another thing that happened last week that Mike has been dying to have his say on is the idea that the Maori language is dying a death.
Is a language in trouble, a story, if it's been in trouble pretty much as long as I can remember, which would be most of my life, which is about 50 years. In other words, Maori's been spoken by a tiny and diminishing number of people, and for some, not many, that's a worry, hence the call to do something about it. It's on life support, as one academic put it on Friday, and he's right, of course. There is no doubt it's a language in trouble, but Bill English is right too, even if he chose his words slightly clumsily in this increasingly PC world of ours. It is not a government's job to go around saving languages. Why not? Because you have to ask yourself why it's in trouble. And the answer's simple. People don't want to bother with it. It's not like they don't have the choice. It's not like they haven't had the choice forever. Maori, like all languages, can be freely learned in a variety of ways. We just don't want to. And that's our right. Part of it is because, of course, and this is un-PC as well, it's of little use outside of New Zealand. In fact, given it's spoken by so few, it's actually not a lot of use inside New Zealand. But a language historically lives or expands or remains popular because it exists or spreads internationally and or it's useful for business. Maori doesn't, has never fitted that particular criteria. So, what to do? Well, if the government were of a mind, and thank God they're not, they could make every kid learn it. That's the only way to get more people learning it, given all the pleadings gone on for years for exactly no change whatsoever. Compulsion is the answer. Compulsion. And compulsion, of course, is really a good reason to do anything. And if you forced kids to learn it, they would learn at the expense of, what, maths, history? Something would have to give, of course. If education is about arming young people with tools for the future, a language that is barely spoken here, not spoken at all internationally, is hardly meeting that criteria, is it? The only answer, which has always been the answer, as I say, lies with us personally. We can all learn it, we can all speak it, but we don't. So expecting the government to do what we can't be bothered doing ourselves tells you all you need to know about the way we really feel about it and why it is in the shape it is in.
I found it slightly ironic that in the process of being somewhat critical about the Maori language, might use the word criteria twice when he actually should have used the word criterion. You have one criterion, several criteria, in each time he was only talking. It's nitpicking. It's his first day back. I'll let it go. Especially when he's bringing us such exciting tidbits like this.
This hasn't been covered here at all that I know of, but apparently Britain, the TPP, this is the government 100 days, and one of the things they're going to be looked to do is potentially, of course, is sign off the TPP, and we had a bit of that last year. But Britain is reportedly exploring joining the TPP.
This is sort
No.
Which bit of Britain is on the P?
Exactly. First member of the agreement to not border the Pacific or the South China Sea, or indeed, dare I suggest, be anywhere even remotely close to the area talked about. So it's just, it's sort of, can a TPP, a Trans-Pacific Partnership, or whatever it's called now, can it be a TPP if someone from, like, basically a different hemisphere suddenly pops in and goes, I'd like a piece of that action as well. So, they're doing the post-Brexit. Anyway, I'll see if Jacinda Ardern's heard anything about this when she's with us in about an hour's time.
I had no idea that when you skive off to Britain in a few months' time,
yeah,
that you were going on a Pacific sojourn.
Exactly. We're virtually staying in the region, as it turns out.
Yeah, that would put a different perspective on a British getaway, wouldn't it? You'd start thinking resorts, swim up bars and cocktails with umbrellas in them, which is not something that immediately springs to mind at the moment when you think of going to England. I wouldn't have thought. We're going to finish up here sort of where we started, with Mike talking about his time away and some of the things he ate.
Here's one of the things I've thought, and I didn't realise was true, but I was wrong. And this came out of Beef and Lamb. So I'm standing in Los Angeles over the holiday period, and I'm purchasing for myself at Whole Foods. There's a place called Whole Foods, which is a chain across America, and it's the most spectacular. It's mainly organic, and it's probably vegan, and pick some other trendy words. It's probably a lot of that as well. It's a supermarket, basically, and you can
get plant protein based.
Oh, the whole lot.
Yeah.
The whole lot. I bought some floss, some dental floss, that had been once upon a time something else completely different. And I can't remember what she told me it was, but it was so disgusting. I went to use it that night and I thought, I'm never touching this again. This is too weird for words. Sort of like this reconstituted toothbrushes and stuff like that. This Whole Foods is the stuff that is the place that Amazon
That
bought.
Sounds even more disgusting than what I was imagining. It's and I was imagining it's a pretty disgusting thing.
It was horrific. Anyway, what they do well is fruit and vegetables, organic fruit and vegetables, fresh daily at incredibly good prices. And you can walk in, and the wonderful thing about America and a place like California is there are no seasons, because they bring it in from all over the world. I'm buying raspberries, strawberries, blueberries. Middle of winter in California, raspberries, strawberries, blueberries, anything you want each and every day for next to nothing. I buy cherries. I buy a bag of cherries at $4.99 a pound, Where do those cherries come from? It says on the bag, Central Otago. And I'm thinking to myself, here I am in California buying Central Otago cherries at $4.99 a pound. I worked it out with the transfer of the money and stuff. It's about the same. It's no cheaper in America to buy your export fruit, and it is no more expensive. But what I always thought was our fruit generally in this country was inferior because we export all the good stuff internationally. So if someone in Japan wants to pay $1.50 for an apple, why not sell it to them? Because no one here is going to. But I'm assured by, and it started with Beef and Lamb, who said, look, the lamb you buy here is as good as anything we sell internationally. That was followed up by Horticulture New Zealand, who said exactly the same thing. And the apple and pear people have come on board now and said the same. So you can buy your fruit here and think to yourself, well, geez, they've got it all good overseas. Not true. The stuff you buy overseas is no better, no worse than what you can buy in your local fruit and veggie store.
Well, that's changed then.
Yeah, I think it has too.
Because
I used to be
on a tractor in my dad's apple orchard, and we sent all the good apples overseas.
And you sent them straight offshore.
Yeah, and the ones that had the hail damage and the russet.
And you put it just down the road to the local dairy.
Totally.
Having said that, so either it's changed, as Glenn says, or it is true and it is different now, or it is fake news. And you're still buying just the same crap that you always bought, but they're trying to peddle it now as top quality export fruit.
Yeah, to be honest, if you want a really top-notch apple, pick apples for a job, and then you get your pick. Just don't go crazy. If you do eat apples all day long, there will be repercussions out the other end, both of the day and of you. I am Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap for Monday. Welcome back, Hosk. He'll be back again tomorrow, I think. I don't think he's too tired and worn out yet. And we'll see you then.